briefing update on the street project for this past week.
Yeah, Gail Meyer done that.
And that was good. Sounded like that was a great. Yeah. Everybody on the same playing field and up to date.
Yep.
All the past history and segments of it and so forth.
That's good. So we're hoping to kick that one off right after the first of the year. Nothing blows up on us between now and then.
How's that going to, it's an aside, but how's that going to interface with the connection there with the new police station and Forsyth Street?
The new police station's kind of been put on the back burner for right now due to safety tax funding. The fire station, the proposals come in, if I remember right, tomorrow or Thursday, I can't remember, for the design services for the fire station.
That intersection there at Forsyth Street still a ferocious safety issue. People dodging each other and trying to get out there. And
preaching to the choir.
But I just wonder if there's anything that's going to touch that, then evaluate it.
We've had it evaluated, and I can't remember who the engineer was. It might have been Great River. I don't remember. Do you remember, Ann, if they did? Or CJW. CJW, I believe, is what it was.
They were planning to underground a tunnel or something, cut through there, or traffic, or is that all pipe during?
Don't know nothing about that.
What about
you? What do you think about that, Jones? I hadn't either.
Yeah. The last thing I heard, and it's been a long time ago, but they were looking at realigning the main entrance to Walmart and Price Chopper.
So it
lined up so you would have a signalized intersection, but then you had to get the ownership of
to redo
Walmart,
the parking lots,
you know, that, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because we weren't moving Forsyth.
Because that mall and Walmart and Price Chopper, they're all separate pieces of property there. So you got parking lots overlapping parking lots. And
so all of that Forsyth area, safety area implications of lights or realignments is just on hold at the present?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if we've got a project that really specific to that. Maybe it's lumped under the 76 project, but that is a fierce bottleneck there, and I know you know that.
Yeah.
Any way we can give encouragement from Taney County to up the focus on it?
And we need to look at
funding for MoDOT. Of course, they're not involved there, are they?
MoDOT, the county's out.
No. It's all city now. So, but we've looked at even signalizing Wildwood down there, and I don't know which one's the worst of the two evils. You know, Wildwood's got the same issue right there. It's kind of a cut
I
through.
I think that Forsyth would run out if you did an actual survey. It's an engineering.
Oh, we've had studies done, and
I could be any worse than that intersection Forsyth Street. It's with all the traffic flow.
I guess it depends on who you talk to, who thinks it's worse. I don't know. Because there's a lot of business. There's nothing down Forsyth right there. There's nothing down there at the bottom right now.
That'd be the question. They're cutting a street through there off the circle. Do you know anything about that?
Go where?
Off the roundabout that's there.
Mm-hmm.
There's construction work going on there, right?
That's
quadrangle, and it looks like you're cutting a street.
Oh, they're just cutting an access road to add on to the water park there at Grand Country. Yeah, that's who that is.
So the access road's going to come into.
It's not an access road. It's just it's an access road to get material up there is what it is.
So it's not a regular thoroughfare?
No.
Okay.
No. Jay Wickheiser's doing all that work. So.
Thank you.
The public sector improvements for the water park, which would be the 5-laning of Birch to this in front of Menards, big roundabout. 5 lanes go east, which can be the start of the Taney County Expressway, opening up the other end of Industrial Park Drive, and all that. Vacating Birch Street as it goes diagonally from Menards to the quarry, and moving that out to an east outer road that goes right up alongside 65 and a new water tower. That award was led on July 21st with the add alternates. It's $8.1 million. The basic contract was $7.9 million. 9 or something like that. And it went to Tom Boyce. He has, from the 21st, he has, I think, like 10 days to submit his insurance and
bond
and do all the stuff. It's a design build, so they have to submit plans during that time and all that. And that is with Imagine Resorts. That's not with the city. That's them doing that. And then those will be dedicated to the public when they're completed. But that's all going on. I think they should get a notice to proceed as soon as they get their bonding and all that stuff, and they should be off and running. So there'll be a lot of activity down there, and there'll be a lot of traffic control plans in place to keep people able to move around, but it'll be a little while.
That's an epic change. That's a wonderful project, boy. It's outstanding.
Be a good start. The first piece of it will be the east outer road so that they can vacate Birch Street, and that's underneath Birch Street going up there is the sewer line that does Poverty Point, does Emerald Point, does Dewey Short, everything out to the dam is underneath Birch Street. So that sewer line has to be moved too. So there's a lot of different pieces to that, but that'll all go. And in the interim time, Angler's Lodge and I think Tall Tales is going to get open shortly. I had a little trouble with health and liquor license, and I think they've got a plan to move forward with liquor license. The help, I don't know what they're going to do. So, at any rate, but that's going to be a big plus, and we're looking forward to that.
So. Well, like Greg's going to work, do you see any need to add any language to any of our project information, the expressway connector or anything? Or?
I don't. Jason, there is a realignment through the Poindexter property so that it creates those three lots that we talked about. And so the original contract said that they had to take the road to the city limits, which is 300 feet past Industrial Park Drive. But that's where we start into that big ravine that's going to be filled. So I've altered that so that they only go to the exit radiuses from Industrial Park Drive, and then that can get picked up with that realignment. But Jason needs to share with those engineers the alignment so that we can pick that up correctly.
Do you know who the engineer was with Tom Boyce?
No. He used to be Springfield's traffic engineer. I'm trying to think of his name. When?
Jay?
Yeah.
CJW?
Yeah.
And that work's going to start fairly soon, right? What's
as quick as they can get all their stuff together, it's ready to go.
Near term. Right away.
Near term. That whole project.
Is the November 1 timeline still set for the relocation of Financial?
The extension of Financial they want done by November. Now, I don't know if that's even humanly possible, but
wow. It would be a task, that's for sure.
When you work with these giant projects, and they come from all over the nation and sometimes all over the world, they have the Ozark timeline doesn't work for them. They're on Miami timeline or Orlando timeline. So they expect a lot, but the contractors know that, so we'll see what happens. But even if they want it done by November and it doesn't get done until December, it's still pretty quick. And there's some pretty extraordinary cuts and fills and different things that go with some of this. But that's all the new business I have.
That is pretty exciting news out there.
Well,
that's a lot of addition going on. That's great news. To continue the development of that whole area out towards Johnny Morris and the airport and all of that, got to tie together effectively, and it sounds like you all are doing a great job coordinating all that, making it happen.
Obviously, if we can get this to Maple Street past Industrial Park driving up, then that connects with the entrance to Buffalo Creek and or Buffalo Ridge and the outer road that connects Financial Drive in front of that, that goes all the way to the entrance. And I'm not sure, but I think they're running 12 or 17 shuttles a day from Anglers to the rest of the property. So there's a lot of traffic going back and forth, and as long as we can keep those connected, that'll be good. And of course, it'll be a five-lane anchor to receive the expressway. So.
Another deal I forgot. Donaldson Construction called me today, and they'll be going to Devil's Pool next week, next Tuesday. Finish up. Okay. I had them go back and look at a different design for that grade of the hill because I didn't want any kind of goof up on it, traction or washboard. And they came up with that. And it's a new pavement product. We're doing on micro paving. It's cheaper than hot mix, but a little bit more expensive than chip seal. It's got quite a lifetime, and we're doing the full deal with the pressure pave that goes down first, and then the product on top of it.
We need a continued update on that. That sounds like an amazing product.
It is.
That you can drive on it within 30 minutes, you said, or step on it, and it seals everything, and that's going to be super. And as soon as we can get all of 248 done, that'd be even greater.
165, well, you'll have to talk to MoDOT on it. 165, I mean, I'm tickled to death. It's got 3,500 to 4,000 cars per day. And I think it's going to be great.
And actually, during the paving project process, because I live on that, and when MoDOT asphalts the road, it's terrible. Because there's one way to get to one end of the dam unless you go all the way around through Branson and come back. And so this road wasn't closed. It was amazing.
And I had them do a pilot car. That way they could take numerous people at one time. And it worked out great. And Devil's Pool is going to have over 3,000 cars per day, depending on the day. They're usually about 95% booked.
Crazy.
Is that something that, I mean, in the future, did you look at doing that? As far as like the lasting, I mean, would it ever get to where it'd be cheaper than chip and seal as far as, you know, how often you have to?
Oh, it will be. If, like in the pressure pave, if it lasts for 15 years, you would have to chip and seal every 7 to 8.
Yeah.
Using the MC3000, if you use emulsion, you're on about a 4 to 5 year turnaround.
That'd be a great thing for 76 too, to be upgraded.
You guys have used that, haven't you, Keith, down by the landing?
No, we started to. We use the micro surfacing, what we do.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but pressure.
We added a pressure pipe to it. It's a
It seals it and everything.
Fill.
Yeah. Oh, it's a crack fill then. So.
Yeah.
Yep. We started to put a bunch in this year, but most of our roads we needed to do this year was too far past the micro surfacing and stuff. So, and it goes to council tonight too. Matter of fact,
you might mention that on the pressure pave because it will bring them back.
I know our bids came in for, we had $600,000 in our budget for mill overlay this year. I usually estimate 150 to 200,000 over what our budget is, and we usually stay under our budget amount. We came in 400,000 over our budget this year. Everybody's so busy, and APAC said they'd give us a bid, but it's going to be high, and it was 1.2 million, and I think we had 1.1 million. The low bid was Blevins Asphalt, was 1,024,000. So we're going to hopefully amend the budget tonight. Depends on what council tells us to do with it, so for $400,000.